Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Welcome to Sunday worship on a beautiful Lord's Day. What a blessing it is to gather as the Lord's church to worship Him. We have quite a few visitors this morning. I'd like to welcome you also. And I'd like both visitors and members, if you would, to take one of the attendance cards on the back of the pew in front of you and complete that sometime during services. And a couple of our young men will be picking up those toward the end of our service. Our regular card pickers aren't here, so Slade is going to pick up this side, and Barrett is going to pick up this side of the auditorium this morning. So have your cards ready and help them out with that. We'd also like to welcome those who are joining us online. We have quite a few people who tune in each Lord's Day and join in our service. Some who are in healthcare, staying at home because they're shut-ins. Some who live away from here but just can't be here today. It's always good to have them tune in as well. And they have an opportunity to help share the gospel with the world because they can share that Facebook link with their friends and neighbors on Facebook. We are a little bit low in numbers today. We have some 20 or so of our people who are away for various reasons. 18 of those are campers at Camp Awesome in beautiful Buda, Texas. And 14 of our young people and 4 of our adults who are counselors and working with them. They will be leaving Buda after their worship service this morning and heading home. So I think there are some parents, I know there are some grandparents who will be very happy for their return. They should be getting back in here between 4 and 5 o'clock this afternoon. If you're connected, if you have one of those children, you'll be getting a notice to come and pick them up when they arrive. A few announcements this morning. That was one of them, that our kids are coming home and we're looking forward to that. Also, ladies, Wednesday morning Bible class for ladies will resume this Wednesday, August 10th, 9:30 in the morning. They'll be studying the books of Ruth and Esther, or you will be. So look forward to that and please be a part of that. Also, school starts in Santa Fe, and I think Hitchcock as well, Wednesday the 10th. And I'm told that in the announcements. I also kind of did a survey this morning. I think Dickinson starts the 17th, Galveston starts the 22nd. Let's keep the students and teachers in our prayers as they begin another school year. Let's go to our Father in prayer before we begin our worship service this morning. Lord, we thank you so much for such a beautiful Lord's Day. We thank you for the rain. We thank you for every blessing that you bestow upon us, and we know that all of our blessings come from you. Father, be with us this morning as we worship you. Be with your church as it meets around the world. Help us to worship you in spirit and in truth, following the pattern that you've laid out for us in your word. Father, we're mindful of our students, our young people, our teachers who are about to return to the classroom. Father, we ask your blessings upon them, that you'll be present with them, present in their lives. Help them to be Christ-like examples to all those about them who don't have Christ in their lives. Father, help all of us to do that in our daily lives. Father, we ask your blessings upon our campers as they return home today, as they're traveling. We also ask you, Father, to help them to cherish the time that they've had together, close to nature, close to each other, and close to you as their God and their Father. Father, help us all to learn each day to live closer to you and to be more like you'd have us to be. As we're about to enter our worship service, Lord, we ask that you would help each of us to open up our hearts, our minds, to turn our hearts toward worshiping you and praising and honoring you for all that you do for us. Father, bless us, bless those who lead us in this service, and help us to all to be the people that you'd have us to be. Bless those of our number who are sick, those who are mourning, those who are suffering difficulties in their lives. Father, help us all to love and trust in you. Above all else, Lord, thank you for Jesus. In his precious name we pray. Amen.
Gotta make sure I don't trip over this object lesson under here.
Oh, worship the King of glorious above, and gratefully sing his wonderful love. Our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise. Thy bountiful care, what tongue can ancient words impart. Ancient words, ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words
Okay, today's scripture is from Psalm 67, for the director of music with stringed instruments, a psalm, a song. May God be gracious to us and bless us, and make his face shine on us, so that you may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you rule the peoples with equity and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. The land yields its harvest. God, our God, blesses us. May God bless us still, so that all the ends of the earth will fear him.
David Wallace, Nanette Maxey's father, when he was a little boy back in the early 1930s, he was going to his first day of school. His mother walked him to school, and then she turned around and walked home. And when she got home, she discovered that David had beat her home. He was taken to school, but he didn't want to be in school. He wanted to be home. He had a purpose to not go to school. She had a purpose to get him to school. Purpose. Purpose is important. We should be people who live with purpose. And it's always interesting when you think about statements that are made when you watch the Olympics or you listen to people's stories. Sometimes they will say at an early age something about what they want to accomplish or what they want to do, and then they end up doing it. And there's an interesting story about a family that were getting together everything to go to bed that night, and the family was talking about things, and they kind of lost track of time. And so finally, the mother told Jimmy to go upstairs and get in bed, and she would check on him later. So he went upstairs. There was a full moon outside, and he began to look out the window, and an hour or so passed by, and she went up to check on him in his room, thinking he's 12 at the time, thinking that he would already be asleep. And she sees him sitting in the window looking out at the moon, and she says, "You should be in bed." And he looked up at the moon and said, "Mom, someday I'm going to walk on the moon." A lot of time passed. Growing up, he had a motorcycle accident that broke a lot of bones in his body. He was a flight pilot and was training someone how to fly. and the plane crashed. He suffered amnesia. He suffered compound fractures. He almost lost a leg. One of the NASA doctors was able to save his leg. And then on Apollo 15, he went to the moon. And he was the eighth man, James Irwin, to walk on the moon. At a young age, he had a vision. He had a dream of something he wanted to accomplish, and he accomplished it. And sometimes it's important for us to think about, as God's people, what are our dreams? What is our purpose? What is our focus? What drives us? What do we want to see accomplished? And in this little psalm, he's going to put us in the grip of three priorities that we need to get a hold of as a church. So we're going to look at three priorities for elevated purpose from Psalm 67. It's going to tell us to put a priority on prayer, put a priority on mission, and put a priority on worship. That's what we're going to see in this psalm. First of all, prioritize prayer. We need to know that our prayer matters. My prayer matters. Your prayer matters. Our prayers are significant. We know that prayer is powerful, but prayer matters. He says, God be merciful to us and bless us and cause His face to shine upon us. Selah. Think about that. Pause for a minute and think about that prayer. And you might say, well, that sounds kind of self-centered. God bless us. Make your face to shine upon us. Be gracious to us. But we know from the next verse that the motive is, so the nations will know your ways and the nations will be saved. So it's not a selfish motive. It's a God-centered motive. But he says, God bless us. I don't know what kind of prayers you pray. But if your prayers are just thanks for the beans and the meat, let's eat, and now I lay me down to sleep, something's wrong with that picture. Because as disciples of Jesus, we should be people of prayer. And we should be purposed in prayer. And we should know that our prayers matter. There's a lot of scriptures I could quote. Be devoted to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Colossians chapter 4, verse 12. We go to the book of James and we look in chapter 4 and he says, you have not because you ask not. And when you ask with wrong motives. Here the psalmist is saying, this is something specifically that you should be praying about. God, bless us, be gracious to us. May your face shine upon us. Because in the song, the psalmist knows that the purpose for that prayer is so other people will see how God works and how God blesses and how gracious God is and how good it is to have God in your life. And they'll be attracted to that. Peter says, live such good lives among the unbelievers that they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day He visits us. We want God to bless us so people will see what a great God we have. Don't we have a great God? And so part of what we pray for, we have prayers in the Scripture about broaden our boundaries, bless us. And we hear it over and over again, but do we pray prayers where we ask God, bless us. May your face shine upon us. God, bless this church so people will see the things that you do, see your power. It's not selfish, just give me all this stuff so I'll be comfortable, but it is a prayer because He wants other people to see how great God is. Your prayer matters. Prayer is powerful. And sometimes God will answer our prayers in ways that we don't expect. And when that happens, I always step back and say, wow, I didn't expect God to do it that way, but isn't God good? Isn't God wonderful? Isn't God marvelous? I was a youth minister in Dallas for a while, and I had a youth group I was working on building the core, and had about 150 kids in my youth group. And I was having a real tough time getting the guys to be leaders and to be evangelistic and to get motivated. And so I just started praying, God, bring some people into this youth group that will light a fire under them. That's what I was praying for. In that particular year, two girls show up in the youth group. One's a junior, one's a senior. They came from other congregations in the area, but they went to school with a lot of the kids, and they were strong. They were biblical. They were vocal. And an interesting thing happened. When they got into the youth group, they started looking around and they started telling the guys, you should be leading prayers. You should be doing this. You should be teaching your friends about Jesus. You should be doing this. And the whole thing changed. And I wasn't praying for two girls to show up. I was praying for some dudes to come along and be a good example. But guess what? God knew better than me, because that's exactly what we needed. We needed some people that knew the right things and would challenge them in the right way. Sometimes through this pandemic. Did you know that at different points in this pandemic, one of three people just totally disconnected from church? They're not going into church anywhere. They're not watching anything online. One out of three. I can't hardly believe it. Because before the pandemic, if you asked me, what would keep people from coming to church? And then all of a sudden, people just quit coming. They're disconnected. And we still got people that are disconnected. And I pray, God, bring people in this congregation that will challenge us. And we have new people coming. And sometimes we wonder, whoa, what are they here for? But isn't it cool to see how God works providentially? Your prayers matter. Jesus would show us by example prayer matters. He was habitually praying to God. And his prayers matter. When he's in the garden, he says, Father, let this cup pass from me. Not my will be done, but yours. He prayed for what he wanted specifically, and he accepted God's will. That's what God wants us to do. Have the guts to be specific and pray. And your prayer matters. And the prayers we pray should include, God bless us. God be gracious to us. Make your face shine upon us. And when you think about that prayer, you can't help but think back to Moses speaking from God to Aaron, telling him the prayer that he should pray to the people as they came to the priest. Lord, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Guess what? God wants to bless us. And the psalmist is saying, prayer matters. Start praying that prayer more often for yourself, for the church. Because who else do you want to really show up in your life? God's the best thing to show up in your life. And your prayer, my prayer, matters. We need to put a priority on prayer in our lives. Can we pray better? Yes, we can. Can we pray more specifically for the things that matter? Yes, we can. But also put a priority on missions. Our mission matters. There's local evangelism and there's world evangelism. And last week, we had Kale George here, and he spoke to us about missions in Dominica, and we support work in Brazil, and we support Brian Hodge, who goes to India and other places, and we support prison ministries, and we're involved. And we should put a priority on mission. He says, that your way may be known on the earth, your salvation among the nations. And just, if you read the psalm, he talks about bless and bless and bless and bless and nations and peoples, and pushes us to see that it's not just about us. If we turn all our energy inward just to the midway body of Christ, we're going to get colder and colder and colder and stagnate, and we're going to die. There was a church in Antioch, and it is no more. And it was a church that was very outward, and then it got inward, and it's true. But if a church is moving out, that's when warmth happens. That's when change happens. There's an interesting text in Thessalonians chapter 1, starting in verse 5. And here's the picture. Paul's preaching the gospel. The gospel is being preached to them. And he's praising them for the kind of church that they are and have become. And he says, you receive the word. You let the word work in your life. And then you let the word outflow from you. Listen to what he says, starting in verse 5. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as you know the kind of men we were among you for your sake. And you become followers of us and the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy in the Holy Spirit. So you became examples to all those in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. And from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith toward God has gone out, so that we do not need to say anything. Guess what? They took the word of God in, they let it change them, and then they let it flow out of them. That's the way the gospel is supposed to work. It comes in, it changes us, and then it flows out. There's two bodies of water over in Israel, the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea. Guess what the difference is? The Dead Sea, water flows in and it doesn't flow out, and guess what? It's dead. The Sea of Galilee, water flows in and water flows out, and people fish there. Jesus is doing ministry there. People are catching fish there. It's alive. Good things are happening. You take the gospel in, you let it change you, and then you let it come out of you. That's the way it's supposed to work. We're supposed to be reaching out to others. We're supposed to be evangelizing locally and across the sea. And we listen to vision that Kel has about his work. And the pandemic, we had a group of people going to Dominica. The pandemic hit. Lord willing, we'll go back next summer. You'll have an opportunity to go. Take advantage of those opportunities. Pray for those works. Be mission-minded. Whether it's you at the grocery store, at the mall, wherever you are, have that sense of, man, there's a lot of lost people around me, and I want to go to heaven, and I want to take as many people with me as I can. And take advantage of opportunities and be mindful that there's people all over our world. There are some places in our world, like Yemen, where millions of people live and there's only 20 or 30 Christians. We have a world of 8 billion people. If you take that whole number and you turn it into 100 people, it's pretty staggering when you think about the fact that 67% of that 100 would be lost and 33% would claim to be Christians. But a much smaller number really would be truly true believers in Jesus Christ. It staggers my mind when you think about those numbers and the deficit. We have a God who's in the saving business. He will condemn, but he wants all men to be saved. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. That's God's desire. What's your purpose? What's your desire? Jesus came and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. And surely I am with you to the very end of the age." Jesus gave us a mission to go into all the world. We should be praying about, thinking about, being motivated for the world to be evangelized. And when you look at our budget, how big a piece of the pie is for evangelism and how much is for other things? Maybe we need to push ourselves and pray for God to bless us so that we can do more that affect more people. You know, when I was growing up, I actually went for a time to a church in Lubbock. When you walked in the doors of the building, there was a big post. And guess what it had on it? Like, you walk in the back of our auditorium by the TV and you see how many people attended and how much money. You got a board like that. They had a board right there in the middle. And guess what it said? 1979 or 80, I guess is when I saw it. It had the date up at the top. And then it would have Bible studies this year. It would have the number. People baptized this year, it would have the number. Every time you walked in, that was right in your face. Guess what that church did? They studied with a lot of people. And they baptized a lot of people. Because that was their purpose. That was their focus. That's what they ate, drank, and slept. James Irwin ate, drank, and slept going to the moon. What drives us? You can't read the New Testament. What did they pray for? Boldness to speak the word. You can't be around Paul and not know that he had a deep burning desire for lost souls. A few of us went to Astros baseball game the other night. Anytime I'm in a Coliseum, I'm sitting there and I always think, I mean, this is all cool and everything's nice, but I think, wouldn't it be great if you could just go out on the pitcher's mound and just preach the gospel to all those people? We have to make sure we're in the grip of the purposes that God wants us to have. In the last 40 years, over a billion people have died that have never heard of Jesus. And over 30 million people this year will perish without hearing the message of salvation. What if one of those people was me? What would I want people to be doing to reach me? Of all Christians have never won a soul for Christ. If our purpose is supposed to be mission, that statistic tells a story. Because if we're not hitting the target, it means we're not aiming at it. The psalm, if you go Google it, psalms about mission, this is a psalm that's going to come up. Taking the gospel to the nations. He was saying in this psalm, which was in the Old Testament, God bless us so that other nations will know your way and find salvation. Our whole attitude should be, I want to go to heaven and take as many people with us as I can. And finally, he says, prioritize worship. Well, much more important the missions. The mission is to bring people to salvation, but the main aim is to bring people to God so that they can worship God, so that they can praise God, so that they can revere God. And he says, let all the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you shall judge all the people righteously and govern the nations on earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let the peoples praise you. So, right in the middle of this section of Scripture, he says, let the people praise you, for you shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations on earth. He wants all people to know God because God is a God that judges righteously and he guides people the right way. There's no other God like our God. Is there? No. He is the best. He is the greatest. He is number one. And we praise him. And I say it all the time, but you know, in sign language, the sign for praise is applauding. We applaud God. We celebrate who he is. We praise him because of the kind of God he is. And you know what? Russia needs guidance. China needs guidance. Dominica needs guidance. Brazil needs guidance. Africa needs guidance. The USA needs guidance. And our God judges righteously. Our God gives guidance. And you see, you're listening to this song. I don't know what the beat was. Sometimes I wonder what all that was about. But if this isn't on your Psalms playlist, Satan's happy and God's disappointed. Because it's about the very heart of who God is. He wants people to be in fellowship with him. And he deserves to be worshiped. He deserves to be praised. He deserves it. I mean, we get excited and praise all kinds of things, right? Last night, we took a bicycle ride with Ava. She's riding her bike without training wheels. I'm so proud and happy, right? Until I start thinking she's growing up, the next thing's going to be a car. But anyway, she's riding her bike without training wheels, and I'm all excited about that. And God does all these things in my life, and sometimes I'm not showing my gratitude, not showing my praise, not showing my thanks. Our worship matters to God. Because in this psalm, that's what it's driving toward. Bless us so that other people will know your way and be saved. And all of us will worship and praise and lift you up. God alone can save. God alone can rule over us justly. And God alone can provide for us. And they worship him because without God, we are nothing. Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit, knowing that we're nothing without God. We're spiritual beggars. But God in his grace gives us all the things that we have. And then he goes back and repeats some things that he's already talked about. But he says, then the earth shall yield its increase. God, our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. And all the ends of the earth shall fear him, shall revere him. I grew up with a dad who loved me, but I also grew up with a dad who would punish me if I did wrong. So I knew he loved me, but there were certain things about him that I feared because I knew that I was going to get it, right? We tried to figure out what it was. Our relationship with God, we know that he loves us and we love him. But he is a righteous God. And there should be reverence. There should be this healthy sense of fear knowing who God is and what his character is. Because there's a day coming. And the whole thing paints a picture. Some people, they want to be saved. They want to know, what do I do to be saved? Hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. They want fire insurance in their life. But it's not about just having fire insurance. It's not about just not going to hell. It's about being people who truly worship God. And I there's some people in this church. It doesn't matter what's happening in life, they're going to be here to worship God. That's their heart and their spirit. And that's so cool to me because it's inspiring. All of us should have that spirit. Winter, spring, summer, or fall, no matter what's happening in the world, we want to be with God's people and we want to worship God. And we need to do it the right way with the right spirit. Jesus said in spirit and in truth. We are the salt and the light of the world. Jesus says, the salt doesn't need to lose its saltiness. And a city on a hill can't be hidden unless you turn all the lights out. Don't hide it under a bushel. Let your light so shine before men. Right? How do we truly be salt and light? Prayer has to matter. Missions has to matter. Worship has to matter. When we were at the baseball game on the big old Tron thing that, Jackie and Ralph and Kel, their picture was up there. And Ralph said it was because they take that section a lot because that's where the pretty people are. And I said, they cut me out. But on the Tron, throughout the Astros baseball game, they kept coming up to us, 2022, level up. And I kept seeing that at the game over and over again. So me, I'm sitting there, I'm watching the game and everything too, but I'm sitting there in my head, and I'm thinking, level up. What books of the Bible would that go with, level up? You know, Titus maybe, or... The set letters of the seven churches, level up, you know. And then I started in Proverbs, that whole book. So sometime coming in some sermon series, there's going to be a level up, and we're going to go through some Proverbs. But I'm thinking that level up, what does that mean? You go from one place to a higher place. We need to level up. Prayer, missions, worship. Throughout my life, especially with martial arts, I had several surgeries on this hand. I often do things to kind of try to strengthen my grip. And one thing I do with these dumbbells is I do farmer walks. I just hold them, and I'll go outside in the neighborhood, and I'll just walk with them like this, down the street, around the corner. And sometimes my goal is to go a half a mile and not let them down, and then sometimes I'll do things to... strengthen my forearms or whatever. And I got this neighbor, he's always asking me, what are you doing, lunges? And I said, no, I'm not doing lunges. Lunges are painful. I'm not doing lunges, right? I'm trying to strengthen my grip. This psalm should cause us to desire to strengthen our grip on prayer, on missions, and on worship. The question this morning is, are you hitting the target? And if you're not, do things in your life to change. And if you're here today and you're not a Christian, you need to be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, please take care of that today as we stand and sing. Jesus.
Focus our thoughts on Christ. Let us focus our thoughts on the cross. Because at the cross, Christ found his purpose. That was his purpose for coming here, to redeem us from our sins, to offer us salvation, and to purify us before God. He used his body to take our punishment upon himself. It was crushed for our sake. That is represented by the bread. His body, which was sacrificed, bled for us. That blood purifies us, cleanses us of our sins, and makes us presentable to God the Father. We serve a very loving Savior and a wonderful Father. Let us give thanks as we celebrate with Christ and his victory on the cross. Let us bow. Father, we humbly come before you, thanking you for your Son, thanking you for his willingness to come here, Father, thanking you for his willingness to take our punishment upon himself. As we take of this bread, Father, we pray that we will remember Christ and what he has done for us. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Now let us bow for the cup. Father, we continue our prayer celebration to you, celebrating Christ, his life, and his sacrifice for us. Father, we are thankful for Christ, for allowing his blood to be spilled, Father, a blood which purifies us, brings us salvation, and makes us presentable to you. We pray this again in your Son's name. Amen.
If you would please take a card from the pew or chairs in front of you, fill it out. If you're in the main auditorium, pass it out. If you're in one of the overflow rooms, pass it in. I believe Wayne said that it was going to be Slade and Barron. Yes, that is correct. They'll be picking those up right now. And if you would please stand with me. That way they're not as nervous.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day! Soon the pearly gates will open, we shall tread the streets of gold. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
Please be seated.
Good morning. I'd like to again give our welcome to those that are here with us and those joining us online this morning. And we thank you for your attendance as we all have the opportunity to worship together. We don't want to neglect the time to pause and thank our God for all that he has blessed us with. And as we all have the opportunity this morning to give back of our means as a part of our worship. And of course, we've got the opportunities to drop your offering in the box in the back, and those online that can't make it, they can mail that in those ways. So as we pray for that and close out our online worship, if you would join me now. Father in heaven, we thank you for the opportunity to come together as a body of believers to remember the life that we have because of the life that was given for us. We thank you for the means in which you provide for us, Father. We thank you for the opportunity to give back a portion that you have provided for us. We pray as we have heard this morning that we will be mission-minded in the things that we do, that we will live beyond our own selves and seek out the good of others, that we will show the light that is within us, the salt that is within us, and allow others to see that in us. We pray as we go about this day and this week that you will guide us in our steps, and that we will seek your will in your ways. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.